Psalm 18, beginning at verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for what you provide for us. As Miss Anna sang, thank you for praying for us, God, and comforting us and helping us. Now, Lord, I don't know what you need to do in lives today here in this auditorium, but God, whatever it is, I pray that you'd touch the hearts and speak to us what we need to hear from you today. God, help us. Now, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today. If there's somebody in this room also, Lord, that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray today before they leave, they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, please be sure that your cell phones are turned off or to vibrate, would you please? We'd appreciate that very much. We'd appreciate the courtesy and the kindness and respect that we're in church and it's not time to mess around with cell phones. Yes? Good. It's always good for you to get away from your cell phone anyway. It's good withdrawal. It's good time. We're on vacation in Hawaii. I had it with me for a little bit, but I didn't carry it around with me all the time because I was on vacation. I kept telling myself, you're on vacation. You're on vacation. So for the next 2.5 hours, you're on vacation from your cell phone. So just turn it off or turn it to vibrate. We'd appreciate that very much. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? The longer that I'm alive and the longer that I live in the grace of God. I got saved when I was 9 years old. And this year I'm 59 years old. In September I'll be 60. That's a long time, isn't it? But you know something? Listen to me. The longer I live in the grace of God, and the more I read the Bible, study the Bible, and now for 30-plus years preach the Bible, you know what amazes me? What amazes me is how that the basic, simple things of the Bible are still so important in our life. I know we like to hear some new truth. By the way, anytime something comes up with new truth, it's always wrong. Because you can't come up with anything new in the Bible now. It's all been said and done. So when someone comes up with something new, it's not new. They're inventing things God didn't put in there. You can't beat the eternal word of God. But what amazes me is, you know, Wednesday nights we're studying the book of the Revelation and we're getting now to that part where we start talking about heaven and those sorts of things. I'm really looking forward to that part of the study. When we went through the Revelation and talked about last days and prophecy and Antichrist and all that kind of stuff, and people get interested in that kind of thing. Me personally, I like the basic, simple things of the Bible. So you know what we're going to talk about this morning? We're going to talk about trusting God. See what the psalmist said there in Psalm chapter 18? Look at the verse, please. Psalm 18, and look at verse number 30 again. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. And then it says this, he is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Almost 50 times in our Bible, just the expression trust in the Lord is used. Most of them are here in the book, Old Testament, and a lot of them are in the book of Psalms. This thing about trusting God. Tonight I want to preach a message, I believe anyway, about, we're going to talk about you trusting the Lord this morning. Tonight I want to talk to you about, can God trust you with some things? We'll turn and flip that just a little bit. But this morning, it's trusting God. Do you ever realize how simple that thing of trust is? When we're in Hawaii, we went on one of those zip line things where you sit in a strap harness and they push you off a mountain and you go down a cable. Now, you look at me. I did that. You're talking to a guy who's got a fear of heights. I don't even like being this tall. I mean, we're talking, and one of them, there's five different lines that you went on. I heard Brother Evans making fun of me about being on a zip line. I understand that. But I had a fear of heights. I did it anyway. Show you what a man I am. One of those lines, there's five of them that you go on, and one of them is 2,800 feet long. And you're about, in some places, you're a couple hundred feet in the air over these canyons and all this kind of stuff. And I wanted to do it. I told my wife, I said, let's do this. And it would be great. Because I saw the pictures, and you sit in these harness strap-like things, and you there's a little bar you hold on to. And they put a cable thing up on this a roller thing on a cable, and they strap you in, all kinds of different straps they use to hold you in. And then you sit in this thing, and boop, they push you off, and then you shoot down this line, and then you stop at the other end. I didn't have a problem with any of that part. My problem is always the beginning of it. So we get up in this really high tower, steps. You've got your harness and everything on. The guy puts the thing on the cable, the roller on the cable. He hooks you in, and he says, now just sit down and lean over the edge. That's the part I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with the rest of it. I didn't have a problem with going down the line. I really enjoyed the stopping part. That was really good. Though I will tell you this, the bigger you are, the faster you go on one of those zip lines. I was flying, folks. I was setting records. Let me tell you what. My wife and I would go, they had two lines side by side, and we'd go off together. Last time I saw her is when we started. That was it. You know, she's going this way, and I was down that line. At 2,800 feet, you really get going. I mean, you go fast, and they show you how to slow down. You're supposed to lean forward like this and put your arms out, and that slows you down. That didn't work. There's a couple of times I trashed the end of that line. I mean, I hit the brake, I hit the extra brake, and I hit the stanchion that held the line and everything else with my feet when I got down to the end of it. But that initial part of sitting down in the harness and leaning out, that's when I sat there and I thought, this probably wasn't a good idea. Too late now. Paid your money. You're going down the zip line. I was okay with all the rest of it. It was just that trusting of the thing that kind of got to me a little bit. And the guy kept saying, just let your feet dangle out there. I go, I'm fine. Because I had my feet underneath me like this, and I was still leaning back. He goes, let your feet. I said, I'm all right. Go ahead. I'm fine. So when we talk about trust now, we can understand this morning this thing of trust. We do that all the time. It's not like it's new to us. Well, I have a hard time with trusting. No, you don't. You trust all kinds of things. You trusted that chair to hold you up this morning. You trusted your car to get you here today. You trusted all sorts of things in your life. You just put a simple confidence and belief in whatever that was. Now, the problem with many of us today is we have been burned so many times by trusting the wrong things that now we feel like we can't trust anything. Now, that's a mistake we make. But this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking to you about trusting the government. That'd be a big waste of time. I'm not talking to you about trusting your bank accounts. I'm not talking about trusting some. I'm not even talking about trusting the person who's sitting next to you if they're related to you. I'm not talking about this morning. I am talking about trusting in the Lord. It says in that verse that if you do that, it becomes a buckler to you. A buckler in the Bible is a shield, but you understand more than just a shield for battle time. Their shield that they took with them in their lives as soldiers in battle, it was meant to protect them from the enemy and to give them protection. But also, you talk in the Middle East and Palestine in that area, the shield also protected them from weather. So it protected them from the storms of life. It protected them from enemies. It protected them in battle. It provided them all the things of safety and strength and life. All that they needed was just that shield that they had. And the Bible says if you'll trust in the Lord like you should, He will provide for you a shield of protection and provision in your life. Now that's worth having. You're going through battles, trust in the Lord. You're getting opposition in your life, trust in the Lord. You need some protection in life from the beating down sun of life and the things that happen? Trust in the Lord. You need going through some storms in life? Then trust in the Lord, the Bible says. He will be a buckler to you then. Now let's learn some things about trusting in the Lord. First of all, we need to learn how to do this. In other words, to trust in the Lord. In the Psalms, if you look up that phrase, trust in the Lord, a lot of times in Psalms especially, you'll see the expression, you put your trust in the Lord. And to put trust in God simply means to take the first step. For some of us this morning, we need to learn to trust in the Lord by taking the first step. Just step out and trust Him. Just believe that it's there. I remember years ago, we went with some of the fellows to Natural Bridge up in Hayfork, and we went rappelling. Now, if zip lining's bad, rappelling's 2 times worse, not 100 times worse. And you wear this little, much smaller, little harness thing with a carabiner, a clip on the front of it. You put a line through, tied to a rope or a rock somewhere, tied to a rock. You put that rope around behind you and you put it through this clip. And then you stand there and you lean back on this rope, and then you use this hand here to let you give some slack in the rope, and then you just kind of bounce and go back down this mountain. It's repelling. Well, again, it's the issue of getting right to the edge to make it work properly. You have to lean back on the rope. If you hesitate and you kind of do it, you'll drop like a rock. You have to lean on this rope to do that. So that first step is the big one. That's the one that's going to make everything work. After that, it's really simple. It's not a problem. You'll go right down the cliff. You'll bounce around like you're in the special forces and everything else. And you land on the ground down there the way you're supposed to without the sudden drop and the real bad ending. Truth of the matter is, trusting in the Lord is putting your trust in the Lord. That's where you need to start. You need to take that first step. Look at me, people. You need to learn to step out and trust God. Say, well, that's where my problem is, Pastor Johnson. No, your problem is you've never really taken that first step. That step of saying, okay, I'm talking about putting my confidence, my hope, my belief, my trust in the God of heaven. You need to put your trust there. Secondly, we need to learn to keep our trust in God. Some of us have done that. We've trusted Him, and then the journey begins in our lives, and all of a sudden it takes a path we didn't want to go on. Things happen we didn't want to have happen to us. We go through valleys. We experience dark midnights. We have battles and struggles, and we think, what's going on with God? And we withdraw our trust. And now that simple trust we once had in God, we don't have it anymore. And we need to learn to keep our trust in God. Don't withdraw it. By the way, please don't transfer your trust in God to something else or someone else. Please don't do that. There are some people today, I believe, honestly, are completely reliable in my life. You know, I'll tell you something. Brother Evans just did a tremendous job while we were gone, taking care of things and filling in for me in slots and different things and visiting folks in hospitals and all kinds of stuff like that. I trust this man. I trust him explicitly. I do. I won't turn my back on him, but I trust him explicitly. But our staff, our church staff, they did such a great job. And it gives a pastor a chance to go on vacation and relax, because I know things are going to be taken care of. People are going to do what they're supposed to do and that kind of stuff. So I'm not saying you can't trust anyone. I'm just simply saying this. I refuse to put the trust I have in God upon anybody else on this planet, or anything else in this planet, or anyone else on this planet, or anything that could happen. I'm not going to put my trust in somebody else other than God. God is going to get my first and best trust of anything. You need to put your trust in God. You need to keep your trust in God. And then you need to guard your trust in God. You know what's a trust killer? Doubt. After a while, we start thinking, well, there was a time I really thought God knew what was best, but I don't know anymore. Now look at me. That'll kill your trust in God. You say, well, how do you fix that, Pastor Johnson? It's very simple. You remind yourself that God is always right. I don't always see how it works. One preacher said years ago, you cannot always trace God, but you can always trust Him. I don't always understand the way that I take. Job didn't understand that. He didn't understand the way he took when he lost everything he owned and all of his children dead in one day and his health destroyed and his life ruined and he's sitting in a garbage dump picking his sores in the ashes of his life. It's all over and said and done. And yet Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He refused to doubt that what God did and allowed in his life was right. You got to guard your trust in God. After a while, you start thinking, well, you know what, God knows what's best, but in this case, I'm going to do what I think is best. You just took your trust away from Him. You have to trust His timing. You have to trust His wisdom about things. You've got to guard your trust so that you don't transfer it to something else or withdraw it from God and transfer your trust, and then you get yourself in a lot of trouble in your life. You got to put your trust in God. You've got to keep your trust in God. You've got to guard your trust in Him. Don't let anything, look at me. Don't let anything or anyone rob you of your trust in God. By the way, you never lose trust. You leave it, but you don't lose it. Well, I used to trust the Lord, but something happened. I've lost my trust in God. No, you didn't lose it. You left it. We walked away from it. We just decided, you know what, I'm not going to do this. It's not going to happen like that. That's a decision that we make. We decide every day in our lives who we're going to trust and where we're going to put our trust. So maybe every day of our lives we just need to kind of remind ourselves, no matter what happens today, my trust is in God. No matter what happened to me yesterday, my trust is in God. He knows what he's doing. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not easy for me to say. There have been times in my life where the demon of doubt began to take my trust from my God. I began to think, you know, Lord, I've always trusted you, but, and just saying that in my heart, in my mind, made me stop in my tracks, and I thought, wait a minute. What did I just say? I've always trusted you, but something's changed. No, that moment, look at me, ladies and gentlemen, that moment was the cancer that was about to eat away my faith in my God. And I had to stop myself on a dime and turn around and say, wait a minute. I refuse to take my trust from God away from me. I'm not going to stop trusting him. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust in him. You know what it means to trust the Lord? It means we trust, ladies and gentlemen, it means we trust him. As for God, it says in Psalm chapter 18 and verse 30. It's almost a parenthetical kind of a statement. As for God. Remember something, we're not talking about just trusting a fallible person. We're talking about trusting the infallible God. We're not just talking about trusting someone who was something at one time and now changed to something else. We're talking to the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're talking about the immutable counsel of God. We're talking about the irreversible will of God. We're talking about a God who never changes, has always been, who he is, what he is, and will always be. You're not going to have to worry about God changing his mind someday. Aren't you tired of people who change their minds? Oh, I used to believe this, but I don't believe that anymore. I don't understand that. Now, we could have been wrong and changed to what was right. That I understand. I don't understand people changing their principles and their guidelines in life. Well, I used to believe this wasn't right, but now, you know, it's a new day. It has nothing to do with the day. Truth is truth, and that is inflexible. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't get that concept. I really don't. God's not going to change. Now, for some people, that's a hard part for them to accept because they think that's an inflexible God. Now, I'll tell you who that is. It's called the big G God. He is who he is. You can trust him. 20 years from now, you can trust him because he'll be the same God then as he has always been. Nothing will change about that. But look at me. That's why salvation is trusting Christ to be your Savior. Not your church, Christ. Not your religion, Christ. Not your baptism, Christ. It's trusting Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, who died for you on the cross to pay for your sins, who rose from the dead 3 days later, purchasing the gift of eternal life with his death, burial, and resurrection. And trusting Christ is what saves a person. That's why today no church can give you salvation or eternal life. No one's church can do that. And any church that does is a false religion. That's not right. You're taking something away that cost Jesus his bloody death. You're taking something away that cost Christ the ultimate sacrifice. That is a false religion. It is a cult. It is a religion that will send people to hell. You know why? Because it takes away from Jesus that which he purchased for our salvation. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Because he's the purchaser of salvation. He paid for that with his bloody death and his glorious resurrection. Trusting God is trusting God, ladies and gentlemen. We can trust him. But I don't always understand what he does, but you can still trust him. I don't trust GPS. I don't. Global positioning. Is it satellite? Service. Service? It's a satellite, but GPS in your cars is not a satellite. It's a service, right? Global positioning. Okay, that thing that tells you what to do when you're driving down the road. Not your mother-in-law. The other thing. That GPS. I don't trust GPS. I don't trust GPS. Now, when I'm in a city and I've never been somewhere before, I have a little more confidence in it. But when I'm where I know where I am, and it says turn right, and I'm not supposed to. I always think, now wait a minute. And sometimes they're wrong. Huh? Oh, yeah, I've had them take me out of the middle of nowhere before. I mean nowhere. And said, turn left. I said, I would if there's a road. There's nothing out here. Last time I'm trusting that stupid box. Been misled by machines. Been misled by the government, like every day. Been misled by people. Had people tell me stuff. I was thinking about it again the other day. All that swimming time I lost as a kid because you couldn't swim for an hour after you ate. Then later on they tell you that's not true. And I'm thinking, I'm suing somebody. My mom's in heaven. I can't sue her. I don't know who I'm going to sue. I'm suing somebody. I lost hours of swimming time because they say you cramp and drown if you went swimming and out. Well, you had to wait an hour. All the junk they told us when we were kids. Yeah. Well, that ain't right. Sure. The people. God's never lied to me. He's never deceived me. Look at me. We're trusting Him as for God. So trust in the Lord. Now look at me this morning. If you have problem trusting everybody else, I understand that. I do not understand problem trusting God. That we got to keep straight in our mind. But trusting the Lord also means trusting His Word. It says right here in Psalm chapter 18 and verse 30. Look at it again, please. It makes the statement, as for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. There is no way to trust God and not trust His Word. Now, we know we're talking about the Bible, but I want you to think of the Bible in this light this morning. This book is not only the Bible, this is the Word of God. Now, look at me. That's what He said. That's what that means. This is what God said. This is not what man said. This is what God said. This is not what man wrote down of what he thought God said. This is what God said. Every word in this book is God's Word, every bit of it. And we believe the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God for us today in the English language. That's why we only use the King James Bible. We're not going to get involved in the new languages and the new versions and the confusion. And that's what it is. It's confusion that comes out of that because they don't say the same thing. Well, it's like the same thing. Well, then that's not the same thing, right? It's like turning to your wife and saying, I love you, Linda, and her name's Mary. It's not the same thing, okay? The wording's not the same. Something didn't sound right, yes? So that's why we stay with the King James Bible. We use it. But look at me, people. That's not only the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's what God says. So when God says something, ladies and gentlemen, and it's in the Bible, and we look at it, that's what God says. That's His Word. You trust Him, you have to trust His Word. Because that's what He said. Today in our society, we've got leaders in our country whose morals or integrity is shot. But we're supposed to trust what they do, not how they live. Does that sound wrong to you? That sounds dumb. That's like trusting a car thief to park your car. I'm sure he's been stealing cars, but I'm sure he'll take it and park it this time. No. People, look at me. This book is infallible, inerrant, and the inspired Word of God. Trusting God requires me to trust His Word, what it tells me. Can I ask you a question? How big is your Bible this morning? I don't mean what size is it. I mean, are all the pages in there? Well, of course they are, Pastor. Starts in Genesis, ends in the Revelation. It's got maps in the back. My Bible's complete, wonderful, fantastic. Now then, you believe all of it? Not only that, but now look at me. Do you trust that what it tells you to do, that's what you're supposed to do? Because you see, you can't trust God and not trust what He tells you to do. So we can say, that's why Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Had people giving Him all these speeches, you know, I love the Lord. Okay, I'm glad that you love the Lord. Question, do you do what He tells you to do? That's what that book is for. So we can trust Him and trust His Word and follow what the Bible tells you. Say, I believe the Bible. No, you need to rely on the Word of God. That's why you let the Bible guide your life and how you live it. And the Bible guide your marriage and your family and your home and your conduct. And you let the Bible tell you what a Christian is supposed to be and do. Let the Bible guide and direct you in your attitude and the way you act, what you do, where you go, who you spend your time with, how you wear your clothes, everything. It's all in there. It all covers and encompasses everything that God wants for us in our life. Now the question, do you trust His Word? The Bible says again in Psalm 18, verse 30, quickly now, one more time, it says there, the Word of the Lord is tried. That means been put to the test and found to be genuine. There's always the buzz on the latest book that people read. Oh, are you reading this book? I talk to preachers and they'll say, what are you reading right now? I said, well, pretty much the Bible, but what are you talking about? And they said, oh, did you read so-and-so's book on this? And I said, no. And I said, recommend it to me. I like to read. I love to read. Read all my life. I still enjoy it. And stuff like that. And sometimes I'll recommend a book. I'll start reading it. And I'll think, what in the world is this guy talking about? First of all, I don't like fiction. Stuff that never happened to people who never existed does not interest me. That's a waste. It's like mental bubble gum. It's a waste of time. I like biographies, autobiographies, historical stuff that took place. I like that. I like something that actually happened to somebody who actually lived and actually did something with their life. But sometimes you'll read it and you'll think, wow. I've read, I don't know how many different books on David Livingstone, great missionary explorer in Africa. Probably 6 or 8 different books. Some of them present him in one light. Some of them present him in another light. I don't know. I remember being in Africa and out in the bush and seeing, you know, Livingstone this and Livingstone that. It's still the stamp of David Livingstone's life is on Africa. It's quite amazing when you think about it. Been to Westminster Abbey in London and seen his burial place there, a place of honor with the kings and queens of England. What some people say about David Livingstone could be different. Some would approve of him, some would not. God's word never does that. It just puts it straight. Look at me. It's a sword, a sharp, two-edged sword that presents things in a clean and clear fashion. You can trust that. And then you can trust God and you can trust his word. And then it says in Psalm 18:30, you can trust his way. As for God, his way is perfect. You know what the word perfect in the Bible means? It means complete. Has everything in it. When we were there in Maui, we took one of these, the road to Hana things. If you've ever been over there, it takes a long time, about 12 hours. Now, if you drive it, the driver doesn't get to enjoy anything because it's one-lane roads and you're looking off these cliffs. You're just basically keeping everybody alive. So we decided to take a tour thing and go on one of these bus things on a one-lane road with the cliffs, which, frankly, I don't know why that doesn't bother me, but it just doesn't, especially when they provide you with breakfast and lunch and all the snacks and drinks you want on the bus. That's called a complete tour. Because if I'm dying, I'm going down with a piece of beef jerky and a Coke in my hand. I mean, this is, how much better can it get than that? And knowing you're going to stop and have grilled fish and teriyaki beef and all this stuff waiting for you there with all the fruit and vegetables and everything that goes with it, big thing of iced tea. You know what that is? Perfect. It's complete. It's all in there. You pay for the package, you get the whole thing. God's way is perfect, has everything in it. Hey, everything. The good and the bad and the bitter and the sweet. That which you'll understand and that which you will never understand on this planet. That which you wanted and that which you wouldn't want for anything in your life. That's what perfect means. You trust God, you trust his word, you have to trust his way too. It's complete. Why? Why do we have to go through those times? Why do we have to have those dark midnights? Why do we have to have the battles and the struggles? I can't answer it all for you, but I can tell you this. It's still part of the perfect plan of God for your life. If you trust him in his word, you've got to trust his way. You got to believe that this way that God is taking me on, I don't understand it all, but I'll tell you something. God knows the end of where I'm going. I've just got to simply remain and keep my trust in him and believe that his way is perfect for me. It'll take me by cemeteries, and it will take me through hospitals, and it'll take me through dark times of life, and it'll take me through valleys. By the way, it'll take you to mountaintops and take you through victories and answered prayer, and it's all in there, every bit of it. So this verdict comes out yesterday about this man in Florida shooting this young man. Bunch of people mad because the verdict didn't go the way they wanted. But if the verdict had gone the other way, the same people who were mad would have been happy. The people who were happy would have been mad because the verdict could go either direction and somebody's not going to like the way that it goes. Because that's kind of the way life is with some people, yes? You give them a perfect meal, they find something wrong with it. They gripe about it. I never understood that. Sit down in front of a deliciously prepared, perfect meal. It's got all the stuff in it. Say, what is that? You don't want me to go into that right now. Well, we're pretty close to leaving and going to lunch. We could give it a shot. No, I don't understand it. Well, this steak is not cooked quite right. This salad is not as crunchy as I thought it would be. There's too much ice in my Coke. No Pepsi, Coke. There's too much. Yes, don't shake your head at me, brother. I'm preaching the Bible. Don't. No, it's too cold in here. No, it's too hot in here. In this same service on a given Sunday morning, I have people fanning themselves and others putting blankets on. And they'll say, what are you going to do about that? Nothing. Unless we build plexiglass cubicles and put everybody in their own air-conditioned, heated, cooled plexiglass cubicle, there's no way to do it. I can't do anything about that. I'm sorry. I wish we could make it better, but we can't. I don't know about that. I do know this, dear people. We're in church. We're over there in Hawaii. I hear people arguing out in the hallway, and I go, we're in Hawaii, people. Give it a rest. Walking around griping in paradise. What is wrong with you guys? Go, first of all, get away from me. I don't want to hear about it. Leave me alone. I don't want to know. Secondly, what are you doing? Go gripe in Wisconsin. Don't come over here and gripe. What is your problem? God's way is perfect. I didn't say it's everything you ever wanted. I said it's everything He ever wanted for you. And if, look at now. Look, it's kind of like a composite here. If you trust Him and you trust His word, you got to trust His way. And then He becomes a shield for you. And He protects you. And He provides for you. So I guess what we need to do this morning, friend, is this. We just need to get back to one of those basic elements of trusting in the Lord. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.